Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
That's right, the Lemon Pepper Parlay. I'm your host, Martin Weiss, joined here with my co-host, Will Blackman, with cash on his hat and a jacket that looks like a blazer. I mean, look, man, it's just a little podcast, bro. I didn't know he was doing coming clean like that.
You not see I have a t-shirt, an Under Armour t-shirt. Like, I'm underneath, I'm ready to like go run, you know. It rained, it's a little chilly, man. So, you know, I don't know. The Pico is kind of just, I don't know. It's just leisure. It's just leisure.
I will say it has been slightly more cold than the normal in Los Angeles. So I'm not a fan of. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I drive an electric bicycle. Did you know that?
No, but I need to get one.
Like, I don't have a car, so I pretty much only I'm pushing on the bike.
But that's 24/7. But that makes sense though. Like, it's such a pain in the butt to drive around there, and if you don't, unless you're going a far distance, it is a pain in the butt.
I mean, I don't really go any further than, like, you know, let's say 10 miles takes 45 minutes, right?
Yeah, so, like when I lived in Boston, I didn't have a car. When I lived in Miami, I didn't have a car. So it was all good.
No need. But the thing is, though, right now, it's definitely like wear your long underwear underneath your sweatshirt.
No.
Because once you get up to speed, I get cold. I'm not good for that.
And it's funny you say that, because I called a game a few weeks ago at Air Force in Colorado Springs. And it was, I think the low was like 6. And I was like, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did it, how I managed to survive that cold weather for most of my life. Being from the East Coast, playing in Green Bay, playing in New York, playing in Virginia, well, Maryland, Washington, you pick, I don't know.
Sure. It's all, the DMV, I got you.
It's all the above. I don't know how I did it. It was it is unbearable. Like, it's ridiculous. So that's why I'm like, right, when it does get cold here, it gets cold here.
When I used to tell, when I used to move to Michigan, people used to be, man, like, how do you, you know, you're not used to this by now. People don't understand. You don't have to go through that. Like, you don't have to. Like,
you don't have
our
to
producer, our producer Meatballs, he's been out in LA for like probably 3 years at this point. I don't know if he's going to pop on the microphone or not. But he'll tell you after a second year, he's like, wait, there's still no snow? It's still not going to get cold? Yeah. Yeah. You earned this. You earned this. You live here for a reason, buddy. Remember that. But that's, you know what else is kind of unbelievable, though? How you stayed in all that cold? How is Joe Burrow undefeated against Patrick Mahomes?
Listen, I learned real early in my life that there is someone for everyone. Okay. no matter how good you think you are or how talented you actually are, there is someone for everyone. You will meet your nemesis sooner or later. And it just happened to be for Patrick Mahomes. It happened soon. Now, fortunately for Patrick Mahomes, he already put up like Hall of Fame accolades early. And so now he's just like building his stats. Like, he got the ring, he got the MVP. Like, it's all downhill. He got the contract. It is all downhill for Patrick Mahomes in terms of like, he doesn't do anything anymore. He just has to just keep winning.
Sure.
But that man is there. And these are like impressive wins too. These aren't like, you know, I don't know. My point is, they're impressive wins.
It's not like they're back. I'll put it like this. It's not like the Bengals are backing into these wins.
It's not like the Chiefs are playing bad. Like, these are
like the field goal, just a gust of wind blew it out the wrong way.
That's what I mean. These aren't like, oh, the Chiefs had like 10 penalties and 8 turnovers. And, you know, This is like straight up. This is a 12-round fight that's going to a decision. And sometimes it's been unanimous. But because also, too, with, I call Burrow, he's Brady Jr. Like, to me, he is, in terms of like his energy, his thought process, his toughness, just his situational awareness already, like, coming into that, you know. So that's, there's someone for everyone. I'm just letting you know.
I'd say the thing about Burrow that reminds me of Brady, right? And the difference is I like Joe Burrow and I don't like Tom Brady. We'll get into that in a minute. I've been a fan of Burrow since he got to LSU, right? I mean, why not? I just like the way he carries himself. I like his swag. And to me, he reminds me of Baker Mayfield, but like the cool version. We'll get to him in just a minute. But like both of the number one overall picks, but like both of them kind of counted out, had to transfer, so on. And like Joe Burrow, to me, takes it in a much better way. Like he carries it and like he knows, he's like, yo, I've been counted out before. It doesn't matter.
Well, because Joe Burrow is way more mature. That's what it was.
And well, ultimately, that's I think what you, when he's walking in the room, guys gravitate to him, right? Like, and they're very much in the same way that Tom Brady, like guys gravitated to Brady even early on in his career because he's not assuming he's not going to be somebody who's going to be, he's a team guy overwhelmingly. Like if it's 3 yards for a first down, Joe Burrow has no problem diving for that. The same way that Tom Brady would have no problem diving right. for that. Like, you know, where right. some guys right. are like,
guys are,
I was just saying, some guys are like, I'm a quarterback. Like, I'm going to throw the ball. Like, I Joe Burrow's a football player.
Right. The beauty with Joe Burrow is he has the intangible that I talk about in terms like a quarterback has to have. Yes, you look at the physical tools in terms of like, you know, can he push the ball down the field? You mm-hmm. know, can he go through his progression? Can he do this, that, and the third? Does he have situational awareness? But as you mentioned, when he is in a locker room or on a team, he elevates everyone else.
Yes.
Even the coaching, you want to put him in better situations. Everyone's like, man, I got a guy, like he elevates everyone's level of play. Because what, keep in mind, we're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals right here
mm-hmm.
as one of the top teams in the NFL. Instantly. Took him to the Super Bowl instantly. And so he has that ability. And that's the thing that's really hard to do. I know we're going to get into Baker later, but that was kind of what Cleveland was hoping for when they got because Baker, he does have that ability. But what happened was my opinion is they gave him the keys to the car way too soon because Cleveland was desperate. I don't think Cincinnati was desperate. Cincinnati was like, hey, we got to restart. Like, here we go. Let's build this. We got our guy. Let's go through it. And all of a sudden, they didn't realize, like, no, like this man, like, he's way more effective than we thought. So,
in part to the Cleveland situation, you spent so much time looking for the guy, right?
Like, I mean, they're desperate.
The guy. Whereas in Cincinnati, you know, take it or leave it, you did have Andy Dalton for like 15 years, it felt like, right? You did have all the, like,
Carson
Marvin Lewis having that. The most first-round playoff exits means that the Bengals made the playoffs, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, so the team, so I get where you're coming from with that. To me, even though we always look at these as Burrow versus Mahomes and 3-0, to me, it's more of a Spagnuolo issue and an Andy Reid issue. What the Bengals do to the Chiefs, what it seems like, I don't know if the rest of the league doesn't or just can't, they're like, you know what? Run the ball. I dare you. You know what I'm saying? We will have 3 down linemen, 2 linebackers, 4 line. You know what I'm saying? Some combination. Five people like committed to stopping the run, and the rest will be passes, and the Chiefs will continue to throw the ball. And then on the other side of it, you got Ja'Marr Chase, who's obviously a number one receiver. T. Higgins, who could be a number one receiver if Ja'Marr Chase wasn't the number one receiver on the team. And then Tyler Boyd, who, you know, albeit dropping a wide open touchdown, is a dog. Add that in with Joe Mixon. I don't see how you can line up and just press man and single high safety all day, especially when you got a guy like Burrow, who's going to give his receivers an opportunity to go make plays over defensive backs. So
right, and even when Mixon is out, Samaje, he's a really smart football player. So I mean, especially
he had the record for rushing in college for a period of time.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, in college, but I'm saying like for in the pros wise, you know, usually, okay, let's say Zeke's out. When Zeke was injured, Tony Pollard came in. Tony Pollard did really well, obviously run the football, but teams would try to blitz him because his protection wasn't, you know, up to par. And so I'm saying with Samaje, he came in there and in terms of like his football smarts, where he can get the job done, whether it's pass pro, whether it's receiving, whether it's rushing, you know? So in terms of like they have the luxury of having those two Oklahoma boys back there, you know, getting it done.
Yeah, it's one of the things, especially back in the Super Bowl, people were complaining, like, why is Shamaji P right in here so much?
Right.
And he's like, bro, because we got to keep Joe Burrow standing upright. That's part of the plan here.
Yeah. And speaking of that, that's what they did this offseason, right? They boosted that O-line.
Yes.
Which was crazy, because for them to get to the Super Bowl and for that to be their only offseason adjustment, I mean, that's outstanding for them, which is why they're playing so well right now.
Between that, the defense is outstanding. I mean, when you look at their second half numbers, I mean, kind of almost comparable with San Francisco, like comparable with Denver, you know what I'm saying? And then when you tie that in with a rifle like Burrow and got weapons like Chase and Higgins, it's just that team. I said it 2-3 weeks ago. That's like, I didn't know who was going to win this game in particular, but when it was all said and done, I thought we'd be looking at Bengals, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills as the teams that are really competing for the AFC championship. Ravens took a major hit to that, as first of all, they haven't looked great all season. Second of all, they barely beat the Broncos. Like the Broncos, scratching out 10 points over the Broncos. Lamar Jackson out. Days, not weeks, says John Harbaugh. But this season is over for the Ravens, no?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I know we're going to get to it, but I don't have them beating the Steelers this week either. You know?
You put me on, you've said it much better than I had thought it prior, but this offense is horrible. There's no opportunities for success, it feels like. There's no the best case scenario is not great. This is the second year in a row Lamar's gotten hurt. And like people talking about the running quarterbacks getting hurt. It's like, bro, Lamar Jackson is this offense. Kenyon Drake is a waiver wire running back. Like DeMarcus Robinson was the fourth receiver in Kansas City before he came out here and was the number one guy. DeSean Jackson was watching high school football with me during the playoffs just a few weeks ago. And now he's like running routes for Lamar Jackson. So there's no opportunity for success. And at this point.
Well, that's why last week, the Broncos Ravens game, like I turned that off instantly. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I did that to myself to even glimpse at it.
Because but
you mentioned the Ravens offense. Obviously, Denver was game was 10-9, bro.
That's just terrible. Like, and it's all right. Let's just think about that. Like, Patrick Mahomes has won an MVP in this league. Aaron Rodgers won an MVP in this league. Like, of people who won in the last 2 years, like, and yeah, the Packers aren't great right now, but at least you can see the vision of what they're trying to do, right? Right. Like, it's like, you may disagree with it, you know what I'm saying?
But we knew Green Bay was going to have issues.
Yes. Like,
we knew that.
It's just, I don't understand how, and then you know what else just drives me the most mad about this? When you look at the Washington game, the Washington versus Commanders, Lamar Jackson would elevate either one of those teams to one of the best teams in the NFC, I feel like, if he could play quarterback for them with that coach, with the coaching staffs.
I agree.
And the way that they utilize their quarterbacks and the way that they use their weapons. And you know, really,
I think he were a crush in Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Absolutely. But obviously, I mean, they have Ritter who they like.
But this is the same John Harbaugh who fired his offensive coordinator, elevated Jim Caldwell, and then went on a Super Bowl run because the offense wasn't getting it done. You have a much more talented quarterback than you did in Joe Flacco right now. And it's just like business as usual, and I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, too, is I look at situations and I'm like, okay, is it the quarterback or is it the system? Is it the coaching? Because once you get the quarterback, the development never stops.
Yeah,
you got the QB because of what he is capable or the potential of what he can do. And so development should never stop like where it is. Like even now, like let's go across the map and you look at the issues that the Chargers are having. You know, is it Herbert or is it the Chargers coaching staff? You know, like what is it? Every right now they're beating down Herbert, saying like, oh man, like he has as many, I think, losses as Matt Ryan did, almost as many in his first like 2 years or whatever it was.
Sure.
Or 3 years. I don't know. Perhaps they are limited in developing him, you know? So that's why I feel like, you know, Staley could be on the hot seat or someone on the staff could be on the hot seat. And I feel like with the Ravens, with Lamar, I don't think he goes back to Baltimore. I don't.
I wouldn't. I said it 2 weeks ago. I thought it was the first time that I ever thought that it wasn't because Lamar Jackson would not be a Raven for life. And since then, I mean, we've seen frustration out of him that we haven't seen in past years. And you know what else? If you think about it, he got the MVP, and then they didn't pay him, and then they didn't pay him again. Meanwhile, you got Kyler Murray, who can't get off video games, getting paid. You got Deshaun Watson, who's accused of everything under the sun, getting guaranteed contracts. And Lamar Jackson got to be like, if I'm sitting there on Lamar Jackson, I'm like, bro, only one of these three is the MVP. Jared Goff got a big money. Carson Wentz got a big money. Both of them, they can't wait to get rid of.
Well, Jared Goff is good now. He's doing all right now.
No, Jared Goff is the same guy he's always been. If he's got a running game, if it's just
he got a little more edge now because he got sent to Detroit. He lost his spot.
That's
in
true.
LA.
That's fair.
Sunny LA. He got a little more edge right now, and it works. I think he's around a bunch of coaches who don't care, and they're not going to hold his hand.
Yeah.
So he's forced to do something, which they are.
I would say in terms of offense, like in terms of him just on the field. He kind of looks like the same way of the Rams when they had Ty Gurley and were cooking, you know?
For sure. Yeah, that's why, I mean, my initial thought is, I mean, Seattle might have it. They might have it. They might have everything that they need to go ahead and get Lamar in the offseason. I know they love Geno. They're pumping up Geno. Geno's playing outstanding, but sometimes that's just the nature of the biz.
Yeah, I mean,
Lamar would be great as a Seahawk.
There's so many places that I want to see him now. I would love it to be Baltimore, but I just can't. I can't watch him run pass concepts that Long Beach Poly would be able to defend. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't do it. Like, I'm sick of watching these tight ends. The tight ends are not wide receivers, bro. You have wide receivers and you have tight ends. In the history of football, that's how it's always been. Maybe you should invest some in the wide. I'm through with that.
Moving on.
Exactly.
We could spend a whole segment on that. A whole podcast talking about what's going on there. But anyhow, moving on.
Former NFL MVPs. Second time this year, a team just laid down and let Brady walk down the field in a game in which his offense has done absolutely nothing up until that point. The Rams did it. The Saints did it. Laid down with 5 minutes left and said, you know what? Good night. Here you go, Tom. I hope you get a good rest. Let's have a good media availability after this, Tom. Don't worry. Go have some fun. We'll just get out of the way and let you score touchdowns. Mark Ingram confirmed he had a torn MCL today. And I'm still upset at that hit with him for going out of bounds on second and eight and not. Just go down inside. Go down inbounds. Go down out of bounds. I mean, don't go out. Go down inbounds. Don't go in the game. All of it is, and it really pisses me off, Will, because I had the Falcons or the Saints to win the NFC South, and now the Buccaneers are going to win it because people just keep giving them games.
That's good, yeah. And I knew that. I'm like, look, despite them and their ugly record, I said one of the most dangerous teams right now is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just need to get in. Just get in. Even, you know, like when Seattle got in at 7-9, just get in. Just get in the dance, man. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Just get in there. And someone who's very comfortable and does very well in the postseason is Mr. Tom Brady. So, I was nervous because I was like, man, they have to get this win. Like this is a must win for this team. And they got it done. Julio showing flashes of old.
A flash. Cause I definitely was like, yo, when he made that catch at first, I was like, yo, who is that?
Yeah, no, like genuinely, you're like, wait, who is that? Oh, yo, that's Julio.
I said it against when they beat the Rams, and I was at the Buccaneers have something that I don't know why they don't do it more often. Maybe you could shed insight to it. If Tom Brady, it seems like when Tom Brady is sitting there calling the plays, running a 2-minute to 4-minute drill, they can move the ball down the field with ease, right? But it's just outside of that period in time, you know, the other, 24 to 28 minutes per half in which they are, you know, playing football, it's a struggle. But as soon as they get into that 4 minute and less, we're going to possess the ball and score a touchdown with minimal time left for the other team, that scenario, they're lights out. And a lot of it has to do with some checkdowns to Rashad White, who they kind of have found and have used as their James White from past years in the Tom Brady offense. That's scary to me because that's right. Real.
Because it's situational football. And that's why it's interesting when, people get into the whole debate of was it Tom? Was it Bill? You know, Tom left and won a ring and, Bill is still trying to figure it out. But it's like it was both. Like, what do you think Brady learned all that stuff? Not at Michigan.
Right.
He learned it at Michigan. He came there and he learned, he learned there is a simple method of winning football games. That is, the method is easy, but it's hard to execute. Right. Like the one glaring stat that's over 70% true is you win the turnover battle, right? Don't give the ball up. You get your chances of winning are going to increase. You know, win the situations, win the end of the first half, win third down, time of possession, where are you located mostly on the field? You want to be on the plus side of the field. Okay, take a profit here and there. Let's just get in the field goal range and take as many points as we can get. Brady understands all those things. It so happens that last year, he ended up throwing for, his best of all time, over 5,000 yards. But he understands the situation. He knows how to win games. That was the whole point with this Tampa Bay team, is this was a good football team that had a quarterback that threw 30 picks. Yeah. I got damn picks. But it was a good football team. If we can get a guy who can just understand situations, we're going to be a damn good football team. And Brady saw that, and he went there. He went to a really good football team and made them a Super Bowl champion.
I mean, if memory serves, they were 7-9 with Jameis throwing 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks.
Yes.
I said, if he just threw 15 less interceptions.
If he just threw 15 picks, he was good. Yeah. He was MVP. He was MVP.
He would have been MVP, and the Buccaneers would have been one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yes.
But he didn't, and they weren't. So, but speaking of one of the best teams in the NFC, I have to apologize to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm done trying to be cute. I'm done trying to thread the needle. I'm done trying to pick and choose when you guys are going to lose or you're not going to cover the spread. No, I'm done. Eddie, and you know what? I realized the rest of the country was right there being cute and smart with me, except for one person. That's the Lone Wolf Eddie Spaghetti, was the only person who picked the best team with the best record in the NFC to actually beat the Titans, who go ahead and did it so badly that, I don't know. A.J. Brown has 2 touchdowns. Traylon Burks gets knocked out in the first round, in the first quarter with a concussion.
Did he pick them to win or to cover?
He picked them to cover.
There's a difference. Okay.
He picked them to cover.
That's different.
But John Robinson gets fired in Tennessee after this. Is it just as, I don't know. I'm obviously, neither one of us are in the room, but there is kind of there's got to be something where he's like, yo, we had this guy on our team and now he's just literally put up 14 points on us in the most embarrassing fashion that we can imagine.
Right. You let your personal agenda send him to Philly for him to come back here and mop us. Is that what they were thinking?
I mean, you got that. Then you got, you know, we were just talking about how Julio had a flash. Julio was the solution last year, like in Tennessee. I can see some, like, I put it like, think about it. If Derrick Henry goes down, that team, I'll say this, that team is a no-name team that seems to perform pretty good in terms of above expectation. So it's the type of thing that makes me wonder, like, if these guys had some dogs, like a A.J. Brown, right, like they did before, it makes me wonder where they'd be right now. And I wonder if that's the same kind of conversation that Tennessee was having. Because I think they're one of the best coaches probably in the league in Vrabel.
Yeah, no, I think for an executive, for a general manager, Tennessee is a great spot. I feel like the only true question is, you know, obviously your quarterback position. And then, but overall, I think for what Vrabel has, he has them competing. Obviously, you have, you know, the best running back in the league for the better part of the decade. So it's a good spot. I think it's an attractive spot for a general manager. Tennessee is pretty dope to live. From what I heard, it's fun to hang out, and plus it's a division that is wide open every year, wide open. So. It's a great job.
Yeah, wide open's all right. I tell you that. This AFC South is an abomination. So like Southern football this year is just not where it's at. NFC South, AFC South, just not great. Speaking of the AFC South, the Texans lost that game in a fashion in which I have never seen before. And I watched way more of it than I should have.
Same. For the main reason, right?
We're sitting there watching to see what Deshaun Watson is going to do. And in the meanwhile, I'm just watching a complete implosion. Punt return for a touchdown. A fumble on your own goal line doing a quarterback sneak. That pops up to like the 8-yard line. First of all, how does that ball just not get buried under the pile? Pops out to like the 8-yard line. Denzel Ward backpedals into the end zone, and then a pick six on a screen. Like, the Browns had no business covering this game.
I watched way too much of that game.
In a game in which Deshaun Watson had 12 completions for 150 yards.
But, I mean, I did not expect him to play, like, outstanding at all by any means. I did not. But like you said, though, I did watch way too much. I got into, like, I think right before his pick is when I stopped. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, Jalen Petrie makes plays, bro.
He does make plays. But, I mean, the Browns played the Texans. Like, I mean, I did not expect the Texans to do anything. And they didn't. But give the ball up. I mean, they played pretty good. They played well defensively because Deshaun looked really, really rusty, as he should have. He hasn't played football in forever.
So how long does rust take to rust off?
What you mean? Plays or series? He hasn't played a full game or a game at all, but he hasn't played a game with these dudes. So it's like you can have these live reps in practice, but in the game, you don't know what they're thinking.
I hear what you're saying, but it's not like we're weak. The reason I'm asking is because, all right, week one, two, three, with your new team and your new situation, like, for example, the Cincinnati Bengals, new offensive line, first 5 weeks of the year, they're figuring it all out. Seems like they might have gotten it down, right? You know what I'm saying? Some of these other teams that are trying to figure it out, as they're going out through the first few weeks of the season, getting some of that, you know, like you said, practice reps that are not the same as live fire. Well, everybody else is in week 13 or 14 of live fire, where Deshaun Watson is in week one of live fire. So I'm wondering how long would you expect, or if you could even say, to where you would expect him to be at a level that we could expect him to play at consistently. Because I agree with you when I don't think it was Sunday, but I don't know if we should expect him to be, you know, Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, who was spinning out of sacks in that game, and they were up 24-0 or 24-7 or whatever against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Well, you know what? He got that man this week, like you said. He got Joe Burrow coming up. So this is a good, this will be a good test to see where he is. Texas was kind of like, one, obviously we knew why he came back that week, right? You don't have an odd number suspension for a reason. Like I said, it was almost like when you see those crazy prison sentences where it's like, yeah, I got 73 years. You know what I mean? Like he got 11 games. So, I mean, just in time for that one. But I knew Texas were not going to win that one. This is going to be the true test. Let's see how this rolls. You got a division opponent. You're going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not. Tennessee was not. Texans was nice. Cincinnati's not going to be nice to Deshaun.
We'll pick that game in just a moment. But first, let's touch on this. The embattled, at this point, journeyman quarterback Baker Mayfield has been claimed by the Los Angeles Rams and is alleged to potentially start on Thursday. I was surprised to see this. I thought the Rams wouldn't have picked him up. I didn't think that anybody, I didn't know who was going to pick him up through waivers, honestly. I didn't see the 49ers, but he's in San Francisco. I mean, he's in Los Angeles now, which I thought Matt Stafford was going to be your guy there. But I guess, what do you think? They're just kicking the tires and seeing what he can do?
No, I think I was surprised by the Rams, but this makes a lot of sense. Simply because you heard like McVay is kind of like half, one foot in, one foot out, right? Sure. He's like once this group is gone, we're talking about like Stafford, AD, Donald, and all those boys. Like yeah. when this guy, especially when Stafford, when he's gone, like he goes, I'm shutting it down. And when he's gone, Stafford's gone. They don't really have, they're not in a situation to get another quarterback. Like they're not.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? So this is kind of like, let Baker come in here and, you know, he might be here for a year. He might be for 2 years. He might be in a situation next year where maybe a team wants a QB and they can get something for him. You know, they might be in a situation. And then for Baker, it was just for him to actually go to a legit situation where, hey, there's a possible opportunity. Because as we know right now, Carolina is they're pretty much going to revamp that whole situation, especially offensively. And so I look at it on both ends. Right now, the Rams have nothing going for quarterback. This is an opportunity for him to go in there and kind of like rebuild and somewhat redeem himself, get some film for the offseason. And then if things look well, then, hey, perhaps he stays there. Maybe he's like, you know, when the Rams had Stafford and, you know, I know he didn't stay a long time, but Bortles, he was the first one pick who ended up being a backup. In this situation, you know, you got two starters. And again, Stafford with his health, we don't know what he's going to do, you know. So this is a situation where on all ends, you're looking out for your future. Baker's looking out for his future as well. I like the decision. I like this. I don't think anything crazy of it, but I think it's smart on both parties to do so.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought maybe San Fran, but I don't know how McCaffrey feels about Baker. Kyle could have asked Christian, like, hey man, what do you think? He's like, I don't know, man.
So first, I think with the Rams, I guess good on you, Baker. Like I wouldn't want to, if I would be trying to be at this point, I will be trying to think about where can I hold a clipboard and be successful and like have a Mitchell Trubisky type of thing where somebody else might sign me to a deal where I can compete with a starter and I have like a rehabilitation year where I don't do anything. Right. Like it's like I just somehow magically got better by sitting behind Josh Allen. Or maybe that could be the case for a Matthew Stafford. I guess for the Rams, it makes sense that you're like it costs you very little to acquire what could be a good asset right down the line. Right. I just don't have the faith in. To me, Jared Goff is probably better than Baker Mayfield. More like he's more humble and more aware of himself. Like, to me, Baker running around all the time, he's like, bro, you're not running away from nobody. He's got, and he seems to be one of them type of people who is so, you know, he's so tough that, like, he expects people to, like, pat him on the back for it.
But Baker, he's on a team where he is not going to be the alpha at all by any means. Just because of the guys who are on defense, you know. And so who knows, man? I think sometimes, man, I just think guys got to go through it. You know what I mean? I think right now players on the team are kind of like, yeah, you mean we, you know, it is what it is. I don't think they have any major thoughts about it. But, yeah, like I said, my reaction is, hey, this could help what's going on. And that's it. I mean, I think they asked Bobby Wagner, like, what does he feel about it? He was like, hey, whatever helps the team. And he just kept it real brief. He said, I played against him once or twice. And he said, hey, if this is going to help, then cool.
I mean, what else should you say?
There's nothing to say.
Man, you know what didn't help the team? Hiring a head coach from TV. Maybe that's how you give up 33 points in the fourth quarter. And you know what? I don't care that you're going to say it's not all Jeff Saturday's fault. I'm pointing every single time at this guy and the complete tank job that the Colts are doing in broad daylight to the rest of the NFL. I'd be pissed. I'll say it again. I'd be pissed if I was on some type of competition committee or some type of situation like that. They were going in to tie that thing and gave up 33 points. It is the most impressive attempt to lose I have seen in a very long time.
I'm not gonna say attempt to lose.
I will.
No.
I will.
You know, this is gonna be tough for me to say because, you know, behind me, I have two NFC East champion hats. Okay. One with the Giants and one with the Redskins. And so by nature, like going against the Cowboys was something that I did. Only thing I can say that was beneficial about the Cowboys for me in my life is I bet my grandpa $20 that they beat the Bills in 92. And I won my 20 bucks. In 93, I won my 20 bucks. But I will say like this is, I see a lot of people right now on the media like not impressed with this win at all by Dallas. And I think for them to win like this is like beyond impressive. Like 54 points to drop 54 points on an NFL team. I don't care how it happened to drop 54 points on an NFL team, especially in this day and age. Now let it be 54-50. Okay. No one was just playing defense,
sure,
but they absolutely dominated.
They dominated the Colts. The Vikings one was more impressive to me. But ultimately, when you have a scenario in which you can score multiple defensive touchdowns a game, like,
yeah, but that's the thing.
That's
like,
going to be real tough.
So I play football from ages 6 to like 36 years old. I have never been on a team that's gave up a 50 burger. Ever. Not saying because of me. I'm just saying because it's like, it's insanely hard to do. Like, they had... Dallas has how many games this year where they put up at least 40 or more? Like, this is what Dallas should have done. Okay, they put 49 on the Bears. They put 40 on the Vikings. They put 54 on the Colts. Like, these wins are impressive. And, like, I almost feel like I don't want to jump ahead because every time we put respect on the Cowboys' names, they end up disappointing everybody on Earth. But this team, this Dallas is doing exactly what they should be doing, you know? So in terms of that, it's like, you should. I understand, yes, Philly's the best team, but, you know, I look at their head-to-head situations, you know, or in terms of like common opponent, like Philly barely beat the Colts. Dallas mops them. Barely beat Detroit. Dallas 24-6, you know, like stuff like that. They beat Minnesota, but Dallas absolutely mops Minnesota. Now Philly beat Dallas. Yes, Dallas did not have Dak. Also, Cooper rushed through what, three picks and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I mean, and Dallas defense played really well. I mean, they only gave up 268 yards on defense. So it's kind of like, man, like Dallas right now is playing outstanding really, really well. And they're having impressive wins. Like they should be doing that. They should be dropping these points on people. And honestly, Dallas could have a better record if, you know, one, if Dak wasn't hurt, even though they lost when he was in there. Like they had the week one loss to Tampa. They had the overtime loss to Green Bay. And then I mentioned the no Dak. So right now, I like where Dallas is headed. I like what they're doing. I like the momentum they have. And I think they're gonna beat the Texans. They're gonna beat the Jaguars. And that Christmas Eve matchup is circled like a mo.
That's definitely
against Philly.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I feel. Like it was really impressive. So I don't understand, you know, I don't understand why people are like, oh, it was the Colts, but it was 54 points, people.
Now, it's the idea that you had a 33-point fourth quarter. This makes me feel like you just laid down. That's me. Because like you said, you've never been on a team that gave up a 50-burger. This team gave up 33 points in 15 minutes. Right, okay? All right. So, like, I'm not saying that the Cowboys – of course, the Cowboys had to run the ball into the back of the end zone. I'm much more impressed with their win over Minnesota than this one, just simply because I feel like there was a little bit of quit in it. But you know what, though? A little bit of quit makes this makes the margin of victory what? So a little bit of quit takes it from 54 to 19 to 40 to 19. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think there's too much. So I agree with your overarching point. But like you said, no one's ever scored 50 on you. You've been playing football for 30 years. You know why? Maybe it's because you always had a coach. But
wow.
Let's take a break.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CAESARFULL, CZRFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congratulations. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 rewards credits, types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537 or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-gambler.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
All right, Will, you alluded to it earlier, man. No Lamar Jackson more than likely in this game. The Ravens plus +2 versus the Steelers, total 37.5, AFC North black and blue matchup right here. Where are you going?
I think the Ravens are going to get black and blued. I got the Steelers by my like 7. I think the Steelers are going to play great. Tomlin is going to get these boys turned. I got the Steelers this one. Money line, my Steelers.
The other thing with the Steelers too, Kenny Pickett.
And George Pickens is feeling good.
I say this, if I was a Pittsburgh fan, I would feel good about it. I'd feel really good about it. I'd be like, okay, we're figuring something out here. I like the way that those two teams are lining up. I like the Steelers in a close one, and I do think it goes under. And I just am praying that this game is at 1 o'clock, so it'll be a red zone game and not one I have to actually pay 4:15 attention to.
Yeah, like let me start the day with this game. I agree.
Exactly. So the standout game of the week is the Vikings are underdogs to the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell and his kneecaps. Total 53.5. I saw this. The last I saw it was Lions minus 2. The losing team giving up 2 points to the team with the second best record in the NFC. And one of the best receivers in football in Justin Jefferson. Are you on the train? Are the Lions going to beat the Vikings?
This, you know what, man, only because this game is in Detroit is why I'm nervous as hell to pick this. I mean, shoot, even in some cases, it moved to 2.5.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You know what? What time is this game at? It's a morning game. It's a 10 a.m. game. All right, cool. Well, 10 a.m.
1 o'clock Eastern.
1 o'clock. Yep. 1 o'clock. You know, I'm going to go Minnesota on this one.
If it was a little 4:30 action, you might have to tell Kirk.
That's what I said. That's what I gotta know. Hey, man, I gotta know what time it is, man. Like, listen, I learned this game. Everything matters. All the details matter. What time is the game? Who's healthy? Who's hurt? Who has something on their mind? What's going on? I need to know all these details. All these details. So yeah, it's an early game. I think Kirk's gonna feel good. It's indoors, you know. Kirk can do his thing. You know, Jefferson's going to be turned, even though he's going to see Ross St. Brown over there trying to do his thing. Man, you know what? Dalvin Cook, Madison, as long as Madison's not doing that soccer twerking, we're good. Yeah, I got Minnesota. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Lions here to win. Now, if this thing gets up to like 3, no, relax. Relax, have a seat. No, everybody calm down. We're not taking the Lions minus a field goal. Come on. But I do think the Lions win this game. So I felt much better at it when I got the Lions on Sunday as an underdog in this thing. And the line has shifted immensely. I'd play the Lions up to 2. I think they win. I think they win it close. Like you said, I like the way Jared Goff has been playing. Vikings defense has been kind of patchwork in my opinion. So I don't know. So I'm taking the Lions there in a game that is giving me a lot of cause for concern because it seems like everybody's taking the Lions here. The Browns and Deshaun Watson, the aforementioned rusty Deshaun Watson, plus 6 against Joey B in the Cincinnati Bengals, totals 47. Bengals have been talked about as one of the best teams in AFC this week. Where are you going with this one?
Yeah, I think right now the Bengals are catching stride. I think, this can go one or two ways. You know, this could be a situation where, like, the Bengals just mop them and just throw them out the club. But this can be one of those games where maybe Deshaun is like, okay, he starts doing some Matrix stuff on the field. And he's like just doing his things and making plays. But I don't think it will be enough to do this. I do like Cincinnati doing this, you know, even by like 7 or 8, you know. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's like 24, you know, 16. I don't know, something crazy like that.
I'm going to take the Browns to cover, but I think the Bengals do win this thing outright. But I'll take the Browns to cover. I like the matchups of the cornerbacks against Chase and Higgins. I like I like that matchup.
Well, there's some history there. There is some verbal history there.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
So I'm kind of leaning on that in this play. I do think ultimately the Bengals win, though, and I think the Bengals are going to be a force in the AFC as the weather turns colder and we get closer to Christmas. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I believe, is undefeated against the Denver Broncos.
Well, it's going to keep going this week, so we can move on.
The only question I have, really,
I don't have a question.
Well, is the Broncos' defense good enough to make Kansas City hold them to like 24?
Well,
this could potentially be a. I should say this: the Chiefs are 9-point favorites. So the reason I ask that is Could they hold them like 24? Maybe. Because then maybe Denver could scratch out, you know, five field goals.
Well, I hope so, because I just picked up McManus as my kicker. Because it's home game and it's thin air. And the fact that it's thin air, that ball is going to be getting slung by Patrick Mahomes. I think this is not going to be one of those 10-9 games. If this is a game where it's like that, if this is a 10-9 situation, somebody's losing their job.
They have to, right?
On the offensive side.
Like, there has to be some accountability.
If this Broncos defense holds the Chiefs to under 14 points and they lose the game, we're looking at OCs and head coaches. We're looking at benching somebody. Like, something on offense has to happen if that's the case. Like, no, there's no like, hey, let's get through it. Let's figure it out. Let's fight through it. It's like, man, we need to figure this out now.
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, then, hey, we got, what, five games to figure this out, whatever it is. So, yeah, this is, I don't think it's going to be good.
I agree with you on that one. I'm taking Kansas City by a mile. By a mile high, like, right? That?
Yeah.
Like, this total is 43, and it might go under Chiefs 37, Broncos 3. Like, I can see it being like that scenario, that type of scenario.
Right, I can see that. Yep.
Yeah. The last game that really, truly jumps out to me, you got Tom Brady.
Yes.
The greatest quarterback of all time. Going back to his hometown as a 3-point dog to Brock the Rock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I had a terrible football Sunday, Will. My Super Bowl matchup, which I bet individually, and AFC versus NFC matchup, San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens, both of whom lost their starting quarterbacks. And then the 49ers had the decency to lose the backup quarterback on the way. So now I'm on my third string quarterback for my Super Bowl ticket. And he's going against the best quarterback of all time, Tom Brady.
Yeah, you know what, though? The cool thing, though, is that, like, football is a legit team sport.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you do the necessary things around the team, then when adversity hits, you guys would be all right. And this goes back to, I said this several times, when Kirk Cousins was going through his negotiations with Washington, I remember our GM at the time, Scott McLuhan, was like, look, like, I will pay him enough where he can take care of his family, you know, for a long time, but I'm trying to build a team around him, you know, where you don't have to do much, but we have a good team where if something happens, like, we still have a good team. I look at the 49ers, they're in that situation where, I mean, they played a game this year where they had like 11 starters out, something crazy like that, mm-hmm. like the Falcons game. And still play competitive football.
I think in that game, 9 of the 11 defenders who started the season week one were out of that and for that defense.
Exactly. And, you know, dealing with the Trey Lance, going back to Jimmy, which wasn't a hard transition, but it's still
a transition nonetheless.
It's still something at the most important position in football. In that case, and now they're going through another transition. So this is kind of similar. This team reminds me of the 2017 Eagles, where they had an MVP quarterback in Carson Wentz, and he went down and is like, man, all hope is lost, but they were still playing really good football with Nick Foles because they had a good team. And in this case, that's what the 49ers look like. They have a really good football team. And I think that's, even though Brock Purdy comes in, like, he's not going to have to do much. You know, this is an offense predicated on a sophisticated run game and outstanding defense. And if Tampa can't do anything offensively, then it's like, good luck. You know, I think there's a possibility that Tom does go in there and does throw a pick six. And, I mean, it could be a low-scoring game, and because the 49ers defense stepped up. But this could also be a situation where Tom Brady is a situational master and he may find that weak link, and that's what's getting attacked, you know?
Right.
So But where is that going to be? Especially when you don't have like a Gronkowski, you know, where it's like, okay, when in doubt, like he's going to be a mismatch on somebody. I don't care who it is. When in doubt. And the reason why I know that, because I've been in that situation before. I remember we played New England and I lined up outside at the corner and we were on the, I think on like the 15-yard line going in. Mm-hmm. And I saw Gronk walk out to me. And I'm like,
come on, man.
No. I'm like, oh, he's throwing the ball my way. I'm like, okay. There's no question. There's no question. And it's because sure enough too, it was man to man. I was on the outside. I had no help inside. And why would Brady not throw Gronk the ball? Because all he has to do is take his 6'7", 280 frame and box out my 6'1", 200 frame.
Right.
Something simple as that. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So this is what I did too. I went up and I actually got in a press stance versus Gronk. Now, history shows if you are a corner and you press Gronkowski, he's going to throw you into a golf cart that's on the sideline. And we've seen that. And so last second, at the snap, I just bailed and I ran to the back pylon and ended up breaking up the pass because Brady tried to throw a fade. So he doesn't have that option. So that's why I think it's going to be a close game. I like the Niners to cover that 3. It might be a push.
I'm taking the Niners too, man. Brock the Rock. That's what I'm rocking with. And if I'm, you know, and I know that you can't really look at, you know, he obviously wasn't planning on playing. But I do feel that if the Niners traded all those picks for Garoppolo, I mean, for Lance, and then all offseason, we're in shopping Jimmy, right? Brock Purdy was in the room.
Brock Purdy was in the room. He was getting work.
So, like, he was getting backup reps all offseason and was probably walking into this season thinking, yo, I have a shot at playing this year. Because Jimmy was practicing on a side field the entire time, right? From all the reports. So Brock Purdy was taking all the snaps with the team. So, you know, that was another reason why I thought they were out of the Baker Mayfield business, is that, you know, they could have been in the Baker Mayfield business, like, you know, at any point prior to this. But I agree with you.
First team all Big 12.
So you're taking time to cover this 3. I'm taking the 49ers.
I'm taking 49ers.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I got twisted up. I'm taking the 49ers to cover this. And I think, yeah, I love this team, man. What Kyle Shanahan's done is something I've really felt that, I don't understand why more football coaches didn't employ. Maybe just because it's too hard. But everybody says, man, you got to find a quarterback to win. And it's really hard to find quarterbacks. It's like, what if you just made your team quarterback proof so much so that, you know, you can.
If they play well.
Exactly.
Well done.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of been his process to football. It's interesting because his dad obviously coached John Elway. So, you know, I'm going to let John Elway throw the ball. But you see the way this 49 team runs. Garoppolo had 27 completions through 2 rounds in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he quarterback proofs it in a way that I felt good about him starting Trey Lance as a first-year player. Why? Not because Trey Lance is going to be a great quarterback, but because he's athletic and was going to be able to pick up first downs with his legs on third and short in that type of situation, keep drives alive. And ultimately, I'm a big fan of the way the 49ers play. Kyle Shanahan as a short favorite is a bad business, but I'm still taking it.
Yeah, but made a good point in terms of the quarterback-friendly thing because, right, when Elway finally got his 2 Super Bowls, who was running the ball?
Terrell Davis.
Yeah. Who was MVP? Terrell Davis. You know what I'm saying?
So, I've heard Shannon say before, it's like, dog, once TD got that migraine, like, we were like, uh-oh. You know?
Yeah, you didn't know. But to your point, but like we were both saying, make your team quarterback-proof or quarterback-friendly, whatever it is. And if your quarterback so happens to be John Elway and he plays really good football, then great things are going to happen, you know?
Right. So, yeah, so I like the 49ers here, even though Kyle Shanahan is a short favorite. It's dangerous business. Any game that we didn't touch on that you want to get at?
By the way, you know what's so funny? That Super Bowl, those two Super Bowls, Elway was 37 and 38. And back then, to me, he looked so old. And I, right now, I'm 38. And I feel great. You know what? You know how I feel every week. I look at them double digit spreads, and right now, like, they got the Cowboys beating the brakes off the Texans,
bro.
And I got the Cowboys covering.
I was about to say, yes. Man, look, I know conventional wisdom says it's the NFL. Yeah. How are you gonna pick a team to win by 17 points?
Because this doesn't happen often.
And you know what? The way that, because here's the thing, you get what? How many possessions you get in a football game? 8 to 11,
right?
Offensive possessions. So let's say you score a touchdown, an extra point on each one of those. That's somewhere from 56 to 111 points, right? That's why part of the reason why you said, I've never been on hung a 50 burger, just literally, you may not have the time and the ball to do it, right? You know, in the amount of time in which the game is set for. But if you're scoring defensive touchdowns too, all bets are off. This Cowboys team is scoop and score. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? The year the Saints won the Super Bowl, their defense was so ball-hawking and ferocious and also had an inordinate amount of interceptions and fumbles returned for touchdowns and scores. I know it's just something you can't plan for or predict, but it's something you can't not account for, especially with the way the Cowboys get at the passer. Davis Mills back in there. There's no chance I would bet on the Houston Texans this week.
Yeah. No, I won't either. But before we go, there is one matchup. And it's not so much about the teams. It's more so about the QBs.
Okay.
And that's Tua Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That would be all over Twitter.
Yeah, all over. Yeah, because those two, you know, are going to be tied to hit simply because of what happened for the draft. And so that's going to be an interesting game. I'm excited to see that, because that one, whatever you want to say, like, that one is going to matter. So I'm excited to see that game. That's going to be
another. What do you think will end up shaking out? Dolphins off that 49ers loss.
I think the Dolphins come through. I think they're going to bounce back, and I think Tyreek Hill might have like 200 yards receiving.
I'd say I am incredibly thoroughly unimpressed with Brandon Staley and his defense. And it just reminds me vividly of the year the Rams were running to the Super Bowl. I was reading a profile on Brandon Staley and the way that he was able to have this defense humming. And as I've understood offensive defensive line play, there are gaps assigned, and the defensive player is supposed to rush this gap. Offensive player, block this gap, right? Well, Brandon Staley and his thing was saying that he was able to have his defensive lineman's rush a gap and a half. And I remember texting a guy who was in the room at the time, and I was like, how much is this rushing a gap and a half? How much of it is because Aaron Donald requires three of the five offensive linemen to block him on every play? how much of this strategic, what are we talking about? Like, all this hoopla that we're talking about, because it's like, all right, A gap, B gap, C gap. So I guess this guy's rushing the A and half of B gap, or is he just Aaron Donald? You know what I'm saying? And then, and then, you know, you go and you see, you know, obviously they go win the Super Bowl. He goes to the coach of the Chargers. And you see, historically, since he's gotten there, has had one of the worst defenses since, you know, one of the second half of the league, if at best, defenses, while having a quarterback who we all agree is a bionic human in Justin Herbert. Make any throw, and it's just like he's kind of wasting them right now.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. That's why if I'm Sean Payton, I'm like, man, I want to get back into coaching. L.A. He comes to L.A. for Fox anyway.
I'm about to say, he's already out here all the time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I'm just
going to make me sick, because I wish he was still After I got to sit up there and look at Dennis Allen and say, it hurts. You know what hurts? Kicking a field goal to go up. You know what hurts? Kicking a field goal to go up 13. That hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know what hurt?
Gosh.
Putting a running back with a torn MCL back in the game, jackass. Meanwhile, Alvin Kamara just sitting there with his quality control chain and just like, hey, you know, I'm not doing nothing. I'm available. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you throw me the ball? Nah, no time for that. Dennis Allen, who, mind you, by the way, I want to say, I think it's 15-41 as a head coach in the NFL.
Is he really 15-41?
We're close to Hugh Jackson on that one. And Hugh Jackson sued the league or made reference to the fact that his owners told him to lose on purpose. Okay? That's where we're at.
Is he really? I need to look.
What's his record? You got it right there, no? You just look it up? No,
I'm trying to look it up right now. Oh. Wait, as a head coach, him?
Dennis Allen as the head coach.
Oh, Dennis Allen. Yes. I was like, I don't know why Staley. He hasn't been coaching for 2 years. That's my fault. Yes, Dennis Allen.
Oh, yeah. No, Staley was in the playoffs. Dennis Allen is trending to be one of the worst coaches in NFL history as he gets more opportunities at the crack. Well, starting Andy Dalton will do that for you. When a guy who 2 for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns just 2 years ago, that's the number two, just 2 years ago sitting on your bench. But I digress. That team stinks. Well, let's take a quick break and then make our lemon pepper parlays. All right. Well, hopefully better luck this week. Our lemon pepper parlay got demolished by the Eagles. So that wasn't great. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers on the money line. I'm going to take the Bengals on the money line. And I'm going to take the Bills on the money line. Call me square. Call me lame. I just want to turn a profit. You can't go broke turning a profit, as they say, Will. That's what I'm trying to do.
I feel you. But I like Minnesota money line.
Okay.
And then I like Jets covering.
Tough spot.
I feel like no Vaughn, no problem right now. They already beat them fully loaded last time. And they're playing way better football right now with Mike White. But Zach may come back this week, right? Is that what I heard?
I heard some talk, but that's got to be just talk. I can't imagine. But the thing about Mike White, I just can't get out of my head the last stretch down. They should have beat the Vikings.
That's my point, though. They should have.
Oh, you're giving me cause for concern.
Buffalo should have as well.
All right, you know what?
You know what, though? Meatballs, you know what? I'm going to go Vikings and Jets money line.
I'm changing mine.
Okay, Vikings and Jets money line.
Vikings and the Jets money line?
Yep. We could just shake up this AFC East.
I'm about to say, you don't want to. That's living life on the edge right there. Big time.
It's on the edge.
The Jets and the Vikings on the money line? I think that's on the edge.
That's how I am. The edge. Edge.
I don't hate glory. It. But you know what, though? Now I can't lay that. I can't literally have that on a graphic next to what, you know, I can't do that. Meatballs, here's my parlay. I'm going with the 49ers on the money line still. And I'll take Dave's Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Walking your trap, I take over your trap. Ever since they played that game, they were doing awful.
Yeah, so.
They beat Cincy. Walking your trap, I take over your trap. They go again. Pop, pop, pop.
They got their trap took over.
Pickett and Pickens.
So there you go. I do think all those favorites cover. I don't love Will's Jets money line pick, but I could talk myself into Mike White or White Mike. Have you seen The Wire?
Yes.
White Mike?
I got a friend that we call that. I grew up with him.
Will, we'll have better luck this week. We'll do better this week. We'll make some money. It's the holidays coming up. Let's make some money for these Christmas presents. All right, man?
I'm not buying anybody anything.
Well, geez. All right, Mr. Grinch.
You're a wild one.
For me and the Grinch, that's the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast.